Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, November 7, 2016. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. Results of the WWE live events in England. And my Q&A audio show is already available for .NET members. WWE Raw is going to be taped today in Glasgow, Scotland, and we will have a correspondent who is at least hoping to send live updates from the building if the connection cooperates. Join me tonight for live coverage of WWE Raw beginning at 7 Central, 8 Eastern, and non-members coming up after the break. I will discuss the TNA ownership situation, the WWE Roadblock main event, and look ahead to tonight's WWE Raw. Well, WWE is already advertising their Roadblock main event. Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns going at it for the Universal Championship is being advertised by PPG Paints Arena, which is the new name of what was the Console Energy Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The PPG Paints Arena Facebook page has that main event listed as being for the Universal Championship. I'm really hoping this is just a placeholder main event. And, one of the reasons that I've been okay with Roman Reigns winning the U.S. Championship is that it kept him out of the Universal Championship picture, the world title picture, because that's what he needs right now. I don't know how much progress he's made feuding with Rusev and this and that, but I just don't think people are excited by the thought of Roman Reigns re-entering the world title picture. So I just feel like it's premature. Now, it's something that could change, but they tend to put out the right pay-per-view main events when they list these. But it is worth noting that Finn Balor also advertised for that Roadblock show on the arena website. So it looks like Roadblock could at least be, I don't know if it'll be the return of Finn Balor that evening, but it'll certainly be, if everything goes according to plan, he will be back in time for that show, recovering from that shoulder surgery. In other news, Friday came and went, and there's no indication that Anthem Sports and Entertainment has repaid Billy Corgan for the money that he lent to TNA and Dixie Carter, which ended up keeping the lights on for three different TNA Impact Wrestling taping blocks. And I guess for that matter, there's been no indication that Corgan has made good on his threat to convert his loan into 36% ownership. He threw that out on Friday, that that was a possibility that he could still do that. Late on Friday, you had TNA creative team member Dave Lagana announcing his departure from the company. Now, this shouldn't have surprised anyone who's been paying close attention or that knows the story, I guess is safer to say. He was very tight with Billy Corgan, but I do feel like it's alarming because TNA has been in the midst of, I would argue, their best year creatively, at least for my particular taste. Now, the ratings, viewership type thing, I mean, it's hard to compare, and I know that people who worked on previous regimes will point to numbers they did on Spike TV compared to what they're doing now on Pop. I just know from my particular taste, this has been a good, consistent show. It's been a good, consistent year for TNA. Hasn't been flawless. Creative never will be, but it's been a dramatic improvement. And again, I just think it was TNA's best creative work over a prolonged stretch of time. Now, Lagana's writing partner, Matt Conway, as to the best of my knowledge, still with the company. And he was not seen as someone who was a straight-up ally of one side or the other. But there has been some rumblings about a creative shakeup coinciding with Anthem taking over the company for quite some time. I mean, rumored names have included everyone from the Harris twins to James Storm. Even Billy Gunn was a name that has popped up as being associated with the Harris twins and Aerolux, which is involved in this as well, along with Anthem. Jeremy Borash's name has come up. I assume that Conway is going to be around to write the actual show, no matter who ends up on the creative team, because someone has to write the show, and that's something he is familiar with, where the others, I'm not quite sure. Dutch Mantel's name has also been rumored, but I interviewed him recently, asked him about it, and he simply said no comment at the time as to whether he'd engaged in any actual official talks on the matter. So, and I just haven't heard Dutch's name most recently, but you never quite know. This doesn't mean TNA's creative is doomed without Dave Lagana. I don't want to make it seem like that. We got to let it play out. We got to judge it. You know, we have to actually see what they have in mind, and for all we know, it could be better. Who knows? But I do have to say that I'm worried about the shakeup, just because for the first time in a long time, TNA's creative became a positive rather than a negative. You know, there were many times in the company's past where they had money, or at least they were spending money, whether they had it or not, they were spending it. They were on a better platform, and it was like, God, if they could just get the right creative going, this is such a mess. It hasn't been that way. And no one was like crying for the, or, you know, calling for the heads, I should say, of TNA Creative. That wasn't the major issue. But again, we'll wait and see, and we'll see what the, whatever the new creative setup, we know there will be one with Lagana out of the picture. We'll see what they have in mind, and let it, and then we'll judge it and see what it's like at that point. But I think perhaps even more alarming than the creative shakeup is really the early start in terms of the way Anthem Sports and Entertainment has handled the transition publicly. Now, the move was officially announced last week, but all indications are that they were steering the ship when the news came out that Challenge TV in the UK was ending their relationship with TNA as being their television partner. TNA issued kind of a bizarre statement. It seemed like they were trying to spin it into making it seem like this was a good thing because there were so many complaints about their show airing in the UK a few days after it airs in the United States and there were spoilers getting out. Now, this, of course, was mocked by me and pretty much anyone else who follows this whole situation closely because, of course, all of TNA shows are taped. And even the live shows, technically, they air on same-day tape delay. So it was kind of a silly excuse. But now, then you have the press release where they issued about financing the company. And it's really odd that they're not positioning it as a sale. I mean, clearly, they're taking over from Dixie Carter. But now there could actually be a business strategy here. So I'm going to kind of give them a pass on that one. I just still haven't heard what the strategy is, but I do believe there's a reason that this hasn't been classified as a complete sale. The press release noted that Billy Corgan was no longer with the company. Why? There was no reason to include that line because it turns out that Anthem had yet to repay Corgan, who again had the option of converting his investment into 36% ownership. Why poke the bear? You could have made that same announcement, left out one sentence, and yeah, you probably would have gotten some pushback from Billy Corgan, but you wouldn't have left yourself vulnerable by saying this guy's out of the company when technically he's not. Now, this led to this pissing contest between the two sides, and I think most people would say that Billy Corgan ended up looking like the better, he looked, basically had the higher ground. He came out of this looking better because Anthem had yet to repay him his loan. And again, unless there's been some change today, I don't know that they have. So basically, we're a few statements into the Anthem era, and their PR looks just as wacky as TNA PR did under Dixie Carter's management. And I talked about this with Brian Fritz on last week's .NET Weekly Audio Show for members, our buddy Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com. But I think this whole thing bears repeating. I mean, this should be a really happy time for TNA and TNA fans in the sense that someone has stepped in to take over this company. And basically, Dixie Carter is limited to what I believe is a figurehead role. She still owns 5% of the company. She still has a title. But I don't believe she's really calling any shots at this point. There's no indication that she is. And I think this is what a lot of people have been waiting for. But instead of it being a celebratory time, Anthem's early PR has just been so horrendous that they come off looking like the bad guys right out of the gate. And I really believe fans would be willing to embrace the change, even if some were hoping that Billy Corgan was going to get it, if new management had just played this better, or if they start to. They need to make fans excited about what's to come, and instead, they give us some corporate press releases. And, you know, one had the eye-rolling excuse about Challenge TV. The other had the premature line about Corgan being out of the company. And it just left them vulnerable. I think at this point, my free advice to Anthem, just ignore anyone carried over from TNA's old regime when it comes to matters of public relations. It's always been this huge weakness for this company. And it's not that difficult. I'm sorry. Now, again, maybe there's something preventing them from announcing a sale and holding some type of a press conference or a conference call with the media to discuss the move, but they easily could have handled these situations better than they did. It's very simple. Be as honest as you can with the fan base. Don't bombard them with a bunch of corporate speak and misleading information. Be human and be as truthful as you can. Leave the line out about Billy Corgan. When it came to the Challenge TV situation, if you have something that you feel is going to be a solution for this, make that clear. Don't come up with some BS line about spoilers. If you feel like, yeah, this might be, you know, whatever the case is, if you have a solution in mind, hey, one of the advantages of moving to the new platform or whatever the case is that we're not ready to announce yet is going to be that we're going to give you this the same day as it airs in the United States. There's a way to make it seem like a positive without making yourself look embarrassing. something. And that's what they did. And I don't think they realized that there's a very sophisticated fan base out there. And I know everyone wants that casual fan. And the casual fans may, I don't think the casual fans give a damn about these announcements. So basically, you're playing to some media members, and you're really playing to the diehard wrestling fan. The diehard wrestling fan sees through this. I don't know if they realize how passionate and how knowledgeable the wrestling fans tend to be, the people who are paying the closest attention to press releases like these, and how bad they're making themselves look by issuing these statements in the manner in which they did. So a big thumbs down to Anthem's first moves as far as being in control of TNA, their first public statements, their first public moves. They haven't come out of this looking good. It's not like they can't change it, but they need to treat their audience with respect and realize that they're not dealing with a bunch of people who are just going to accept corporate mumbo-jumbo. Now, before we get into looking ahead to today's Raw, the members are already listening to my 50-minute Q&A audio show. They will also be hearing that member-exclusive audio review of Raw. Those tend to go anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes in length, just depending on the week. The members are also going to be hearing the .NET Weekly audio show. Will Pruitt and I will get together on Thursday morning, and so you guys will have access to that on Thursday afternoon at the very latest, and the members will hear long-form versions of our audio reviews from all the major television shows, including Zach Zimmerman's NXT review, Hayden Gleed and Darren Gutteridge's ROH TV review, John Moore's Lucha Underground review, and the list just goes on. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of the website, all you have to do is visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. You will see the sign-up area. Click inside there. You're going to find three different pricing options. As usual, $7.50 will get you in the door. If you want to save yourself some money, take advantage of the six-month option, which brings the price down a bit, or go all the way to the annual option, which brings the price down to an average of $5.50 per month. So yeah, you are actually taking $2 off per month if you commit to the annual option for the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, which also has the forum, and it also has the entire audio library. So if you're someone who likes to go back and listen to audio on past events or just certain periods to hear what was going on in the news and get our take on it, it is all available in the archive section for the .NET members. As we do on Monday, here are a few things that I'll be looking for on tonight's WWE Raw. We'll start with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. I thought they set the table last week by having Rollins save Reigns from that attack by Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. Now, they did something similar with these two once before, and they never really followed up on it, but I think this time is different because Survivor Series is right around the corner, and I think most of us assume that Seth Rollins is going to be the final member of Team Raw. And if that's the case, I'm curious to see, do they save Rollins and Reigns teaming together for the first time since the Shield split at Survivor Series? Do they give that away on Raw? I don't know. I mean, I would make it a hook for Survivor Series, but we'll have to see what happens. They're obviously trying to get the television numbers up, and they may feel like that gives them the best opportunity to do so. I think you can have the best of both worlds. You give, because it's an elimination match. You know, it's 5-on-5 at Survivor Series, and if you really want to give that match away on television, I just wait until after Survivor Series. So you have that little hook that, what's it going to be like when these guys are on the same team for the first time? And then the actual tag team match is something that you can get back to. Second, how is WWE Raw going to respond to Dolph Ziggler's open challenge? If you missed SmackDown, he issued an open challenge to a Raw wrestler coming after the Intercontinental Championship. I believe this is Survivor Series. It wasn't really made clear on the show. Now, I'm curious to see how they're going to play this with Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley. Now, it's possible they could have it. Their characters see this as a chance to bring the Intercontinental title to Raw. And if that's the case, then I think most of us are going to look at this as, well, Ziggler retains. Because I don't think they want to have the U.S. and Intercontinental Championships on Raw and then just the WWE title on SmackDown. But their characters could also see, there could also be a stipulation. They haven't really explained this. Are they worried about a stipulation that the winner, if this Raw wrestler wins, he has to jump to SmackDown? And if there is, if that's how they're going to play it, then why would they ever agree to do that? Why would they give one of their wrestlers that they have under, you know, the storyline contract a chance to jump to SmackDown and win a championship? Doesn't really make much sense, does it? Now, and if there's not, why in the world would Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan even agree to this in the first place? And you can say, well, they have great confidence in Dolph Ziggler. Why? Why would they? So basically the idea is that someone is going to look stupid because Shane and Daniel Bryan would run the risk of losing a championship to the Raw brand. It's not like there's, barring Roman Reigns dropping the U.S. Championship before Survivor Series, it's not like you're going to get, it's not like you're going to have Roman defending the U.S. Championship at Survivor Series because he's already in the Survivor Series elimination match. Now, the third thing, I'm mildly intrigued to see who New Day ends up adding to Team Raw's tag team for Survivor Series. I got to admit, I'm reaching a bit. 3 hours of material and so little to be excited about. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. Now, there aren't many teams. My guess is that it's going to be Enzo and Big Cass, I guess Anderson and Gallows, and probably Sheamus and Cesaro. And then the other teams that I guess are left over, and I may be forgetting one, but nobody that really matters, I don't think. Goldust and R-Truth or the Shining Stars. Are they going to have some sort of a qualifying match between those teams, or how is that going to work? But I would assume you're going to see those other four teams on there for sure. How do they get there? You know, New Day has feuded with, they're currently feuding with Cesaro and Sheamus. They've already had issues, their run with Anderson and Gallows. So how do they get there? Mildly intrigued. And I guess same goes for putting together the women's team. I don't know that we have much known about the women's team on the Raw side just yet. So we should get some Survivor Series developments on this show, with the show now less than 2 weeks away. Please note that I will not have the, if you follow along with my pre-show notes, with the show being taped today, and I'm just seeing now that we are starting to get updates on the Superstars taping, so that's good. Hopefully the connection continues to click for us, and thanks to .NET Reader in advance, Paul Jacques, for sending us the updates on the Superstars and Raw taping. Again, details on the main page at ProWrestling.net. If they're not there, then assume something went haywire with the connection, but so far, so good. So with the show being taped, I will not be doing live coverage of the pre-show because, well, we'll know all the matches already anyway. That will return next week, but please do join me for live coverage of Raw tonight. If you were worried about spoilers with this being a taped show, don't worry about it. I'm just going to react as if I have no idea what any spoilers are. I always try to do that, never give anything away as far as spoilers for the taped shows, just as we do for Impact and NXT, and the list goes on, Ring of Honor as well. Finally, do you want to help us spread the word about this podcast in ProWrestling.net? Hey, you should. Don't say no. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast. And if you could, rate and review us on iTunes. That's a big help when you do that. It lets people know, kind of moves us up the rankings a little bit, lets people see there's so many wrestling podcasts out there. For an independent like this one is, it's a big help if you can go out, if you can just take that moment to give us a quick rating and review on iTunes. Plus, it helps give us some feedback. It's always appreciated. And also, when I put the link out for this podcast on Twitter, a retweet is great. A big thanks to everybody who has helped out in one or more of those ways. It is definitely appreciated. And I will be back on Tuesday with the All Access Daily Podcast. So until then, have a great day. Take care.